Hey everybody, welcome to another edition of Getting Real, the Getting Real podcast with Paul and Howard. And in this particular episode, we've got a really special guest. We've got Bert Clay from the Anacortes, Washington office. But Paul, I think in this episode, we're going to talk about ADUs. You know, in the state of Washington and the state of Oregon, this conversation is a little bit ahead of the country because, you know, there's so many different topics to actually have. This can lead to so many different conversations the more you actually start to dive into ADUs and why the states, of course, are, you know, proposing legislation to have more affordable housing, converting single family lots into opportunities for these ADUs. And of course, lots of people are having questions. What exactly does this mean? Do you have to actually create subdivided lots as a result? Is that what's happening? What about short-term rentals, long-term rentals? What about CCNRs, you know, of course, within every single subdivision and community? There is a lot to talk about, and we're not going to get to all of it today. So I'm just letting you all know right now, but we definitely want to at least have that first conversation. So whether you are a homeowner thinking about buying a home, you need affordable housing, you're a builder or contractor, you know, you're a real estate agent, loan officer, the ADU conversation is just going to be something that's going to continue to happen, I think, in the coming years. And we just want you to become, very much aware of it and possibly become an expert at it, right? I mean, what are the advantages of becoming an expert in the field at this thing? So that being said, Paul, I mean, what else? I mean, have your brokers in your office in Bellingham or in the Anacortes office, I mean, is this a curious topic? I mean, what are you finding so far?
Well, yeah, it's a super big deal because there's just, you know, I think for the longest time, it seems like most things that are happening are making it more difficult to build, more expensive to build. And this is just, and we're always talking about affordable housing. And this is the biggest move that I can think of in my 20 years that goes the other direction in a major way.
What's the why behind this? Why did the state decide to, you know, introduce this bill?
Well, one of the things I'm do within the Anacortes is I'm very involved in a lot of community organizations. And there's a continuous theme within those because we deal with a lot of needs in those organizations. And a continuous theme was housing shortages and cost of housing. People are being priced out of the community. So as a socially responsible person and watching what was transpiring as prices here doubled and literally tripled since I became a realtor, that the need for opportunity for people to be a homeowner and participate and or even have affordable rental housing was incredible. And there were a lot of push by the community. The city passed in 2008 a municipal code, which opened up ADUs to the community. But they didn't start running away. There were a few people that picked up and applied and built them. But a lot of the developers came in and started to want to build multi-unit properties. And they did, and the community actually kind of really didn't like it. They felt it was changing the physical appearance of the town. There's another saying that's very popular here as well. We're going to look like Seattle, you know, with high rises and mid rises and all this. So they wanted, the city's going through a lot of resistance for change. But one of the benefits I see for ADUs, if you look at the current city code on ADUs, they allow one ADU unit within a fairly not broad spectrum of zoning areas within the city. And the new legislation that was passed in May by the legislature in Olympia changes all of that. It allows two ADU units on a single family home property. And there could be lots of different combinations of that. You know, it doesn't have to be two structures, two additional structures. It can be one additional structure or two additional divisions within an existing home if you have separate entrances. You know, there's lots of combinations that are opened up if depending on the the current home that's there and what land is available. It used to be restricted to 900 square feet. Now, with the new legislation, it's 1,000 square feet per unit. The makeup of an ADU still is the same, which includes a kitchen, bathroom, and sleeping area. But there's no minimum size. Now, physically, to put that together, you're probably going to end up, with a minimum. But the law does not state a minimum. But the beauty of this is that if people can, that have the single family home, that are wanting to improve their income opportunity, also be community oriented and offer lower cost housing, can add an ATU to the, or two to their property, supplement their own income, and at the same time, be socially responsible to the community and offer better housing. And there's so many ways that that can help in a lot of respects. Another restriction that's that was on the current ADU code was that the owner had to occupy either the ADU or the primary property. Well, now even investors can buy a single family home, put two ADUs in it, in whatever configuration possible, and can get three incomes from a single property. So it's an enormous opportunity, not just for individuals to grow wealth and income potential, but for investors. So it really covers a unique gambit that traditional multi-units don't necessarily do. It's a beautiful benefit to the community and to the affordable housing.
I think there's so much to break down right now on you made a bunch of different comments and different categories and people that we got to talk about. But the first person that I'm thinking about is that first time investor. You know, they bought a house. It may have been their first home, right? They bought a single family house. They can make the payments, but they just are not able to take money and then like buy another house, you know, as an investment house. And everybody is curious about investing in real estate, right? Having additional, I mean, they've seen all the TV shows and they've read all the books about the importance of, you know, having investments and, you know, having rental income and all that. But this new house bill, this new ADU opportunity, basically all of a sudden saying, wait a minute, even on my existing house, I could still live in my house, add an ADU, and my own house becomes its first investment. I mean, that alone is kind of a really unique opportunity. I mean, Paul, any thoughts on that yourself? I mean, have you guys been talking about that, you know, in the office?
We're talking about investors. We're talking about the first-time investor, the multifamily aspect of it. But also, Bert also touched on the square footage change. So 1,000 square feet. When you think about 1,000 square feet, that's not like a little cottage. You could have a really nice, highly functional one bedroom or a two bedroom even cottage with. And if you think about the designs now, but with open floor plans and vaulted ceilings, you can have a really nice second home. And that second home, there's also the mother-in-law component to this too, right? Like how many families are there where now that it can be 1,000 square feet, especially, and because of the restrictions lifted, now what about, you know, you have those, you know, those aging parents, maybe you want to have them, you want to build a second home for them. You want to take the old garage in your yard and convert it to an ADU or off the alley, convert it to an ADU for not just for potential income, but it could be literally for extended family, right? So I think that there's going to be a lot of that too. I don't think this is strictly going to be just something. So if you live in a neighborhood in Anacortes or somewhere else, and you're worried that all of a sudden investors are going to run rampant, I think there's going to be a lot of multifamily situations too that are going to take advantage of this.
Yeah, it's not just from a standpoint of, you mentioned the taking care of parents. Well, also there's the extended stay kids that can have their own place. So it goes both ways. You know, there's lots of opportunity or additional care, you know, potential caregiver. It fills such a gambit of wide need and opportunity for a lot of people.
You know, Bert, you said yourself when you were talking earlier about when they first passed the laws for ADUs, and it seemed like a big deal at the time, but then it didn't seem like it made a huge impact. Obviously, we know this is going to make a bigger impact, but still, it's not like overnight everybody's going to start, you know, building ADUs everywhere. There's still a cost, you know, stormwater, there's this, there's that. There's still going to be, you know, it's not going to be for every lot and every homeowner. So it's still going to be a slow, you know, moving thing that's not going to drastically, I think, change any neighborhood anytime soon. And so I think that's if that, and then that's going to be one concern that people really shouldn't have to think about too much, or at least be overly concerned about things changing too quickly. The other thing in the law is that neighborhood associations, HOAs, could still restrict. So, and I know in Anacortes, there's several developments that are run by HOAs that it's not going to be allowed on anyway, correct?
No, existing HOA restrictions are maintained. Any future HOA or condominium will not be able to restrict those.
That's a good point. That's a good point. I think several of the newer developments in the Anacortes probably already have things that would restrict, or I don't know. You tell us.
Most condominiums and HOAs here have very strong CCNRs and restrictions on, you know, rental periods, rental types, even if on the unit itself, let alone on adding another unit. No, so a lot of neighborhoods will not be affected if they're already in an HOA or a condominium.
Yeah, so it kind of reminds me of, you know, when you go down, I was buying a Airbnb in Arizona, and you know, every HOA in Arizona has their restrictions against Airbnbs because they're so prevalent there. It's going to be like, I kind of feel like that's the way land is going to be valued differently in City of Anacortes, different cities around Washington State now. It's like, if this is a non-HOA, if there's no restrictions against this in this neighborhood, well, everyone's lot is worth more now, for the most part, right? Because there's that potential now with that lot.
Well, you could look at that both ways, too. That if it does have those restrictions, it's not going to be affected by it.
Right. So it depends on what you're looking for.
It'll be interesting how down the road, economically, those play out.
You know, I think we're touching on a couple of really important points. First of all, on the HOAs, ultimately the HOAs are people, right? They're communities. They can still govern and make decisions to change, you know, the existing rules and regulations if they so wanted to. That's just where, you know, we do have to have good counselors and the cultures and communities. I mean, they all have to just decide, hey, is this good for our community? Is this good for the community at large? I think, Bert, you said a word, social responsibility. I mean, there's a lot of pieces that's happening there. But on top of that, if in these HOAs, they're starting to see, well, you know, multi-generational living, I mean, the needs that even people who live in those communities are also going to be facing, the idea that, wow, I can maybe have both, you know, my kid who's moving back home as well as an aging parent and, you know, have true community in that way on my house through these ADUs, because I don't want them in another room of my house. I want a little separation. I mean, the ADUs do solve so much of these type of things, and other communities, cultures, other countries, it's already a norm. And so I don't know. I feel like there can just be these conversations that need to be had even among the HOAs. I mean, don't you guys agree?
Well, yeah, for sure. You know, it's part of evolution and change in general. That people will get used to this way easier, I believe, than high-rises. High-rises change the appearance of a community and a feel of a community, where the ADUs are still, if you even look at the ones that have been built so far, they don't change the neighborhood, really. The neighborhood still looks like the neighborhood. You know, a lot of them are behind the main property or a modification of a garage or an additional structure that was on the property. So they don't necessarily affect the visual aspect of the neighborhood.
Almost the opposite, you're right, because, you know, in the core neighborhoods, kind of the more urban neighborhoods, a lot of times they're taking these old garages that looked like trashed And then they're rebuilding them into these really nice cottages. So cosmetically, actually, I mean, there's more density, there's more, you know, all that. But cosmetically, I think you're right. It can actually go the other way sometimes.
Well, yeah, the new building is a new building, right?
Another thing I don't know that we've touched on is, you know, yes. Okay. So makes for an excellent investment. Great opportunity for investors. Great opportunities for people like Howard's client who had the situation where, you know, they were going to buy a condo. And now all of a sudden they could afford a house because they can rent the other house. There's all of those aspects. Somebody developing, as Bert's mentioned. What about just the renters out there? I know that in Anacortes, it's expensive to buy, but it's also expensive to rent. And, you know, even a small amount of uptick in options, you know, maybe somebody who has a $1,500 a month budget for rent, you know, maybe all they're looking at is a couple apartment complexes in Anacortes, and that's all their options are right now. Maybe there's now some new cottage, 1,000 square foot new units that are detached living homes that are going to be available. That opens up some more affordable rentals as well.
The most first-time renters are single individuals. You know, they're generally not families. They can be, but the vast majority are single individuals. So the opportunity for even an individual to have a small place of their own is a great. And getting back to that point you mentioned before, one thing that I have definitely seen an improvement in Anacortes is the alleys, because a lot of those builds have been in the alleys, and the alleys tended to be kind of a lot of a leftover part, you know, the garbage cans and whatnot. And the ADUs that have been built have really upscaled the alleys in a lot of places.
I think a lot of the people who are listening, they're curious about, well, what's the first step or what's the next step? If I'm curious, you know, I'm a homeowner now and I want to add, you know, an accessory dwelling unit. Should I talk to the city first? Should I talk to a realtor? Should I talk to a contractor? Should I talk to a lender?
Currently, the ADU legislation doesn't go into effect in Anacortes until it's mandated that it has to go into effect no later than 6 months after our anniversary of our comp plan, which our comp plan anniversary is 2025. So by law, the city of Anacortes has to have the new parameters in effect by no later than 6 months after December 2025. There's a lot of things that have to be done. You have to understand from a legal standpoint, they have to rewrite an incredible amount of code enforcement things within the structure of the city. It all has to be engineered, calculated, and all that kind of stuff. So there's a lot of work to put it together. Currently, if one wanted to build an ADU, it would fall under the 2008 city codes. So one would want to see where they'd want to proceed. One could go ahead and build one based on the current and then build the second one based on the new when it comes into effect after 2025. And economically, that's probably a nice stepping stone.
I think just what you're saying right now is that initial research in terms of like, well, what about costs and what about finances and what about, you know, the designs and plans and options and all those things. Anybody who's ever done even a light remodel of any kind, it takes a long time, you know, to figure this stuff out. And so it's better to at least have conversations today. Wouldn't you agree?
Planning is everything for, you know, for success. You know, you've heard that, plan for success. The benefit is that if you start by doing research, by contacting people that have knowledge and can help guide you in the right direction, it will help you make informed decisions. You know, and understanding the changes that are coming down the road, when's the best time? You mentioned the affordability. Well, one of the benefits we are all, any property owner has realized in the last 4 or 5 years, most properties, at least in Anacortes, have doubled in value. So a lot of people have pent up equity in their property, which is relatively easily accessible to help put in an ADU, you know, without going out and breaking the bank. And then you've got the extra income to offset any cost that's involved with that, and then some possibly. because of the rate of rents right now.
So, I mean, historically, we've always told, you know, clients, any homeowner, hey, you should get a market update every single year. Whether you think about buying or selling, you should at least know how much your home is worth. And oftentimes what the realtor would be able to do at that time is also give you a few home maintenance tips, which a lot of people, right, they haven't maintained their homes as well as they could have. And so it's like during that home assessment, you know, that your broker is kind of giving you some ideas of the value of the home, make sure you've done a few home maintenance tips, you know, things of that nature. But now it's almost like, Bert, if you're going to talk to anybody and give them one of these home evaluations, you know, just because you do that on a yearly basis, it's not only here's how much your home is worth, but it's like, here's how much your home is worth as is. If you were to add one ADU and you could get this kind of rent, this is how much it could go up by, right? Because now you've got revenue coming in. If you were to add two ADUs, this is what it could be worth. I mean, I think it's a whole new conversation now between the real estate professional, homeowners. And before we started the podcast, we talked about also there are people. I mean, we talked earlier about the person who's like thinking about converting their house, getting additional income, you know, as their first investment. There's a lot of people who might be a little bit on the equity rich cash poor scenario. So that means that maybe they're retired, pseudo-retired, you know, their income isn't what it used to be or not as much, but they've got a lot of equity. Maybe they don't have a mortgage on their house. And by actually taking some of the equity, actually then adding an ADU, it could actually help them with a cash flow perspective. So, I mean, your thoughts on that, Bert?
Oh, definitely. You know, Anacortes has a sizable retired population. Which most of those people are in a fixed income from their investments and retirement. So any supplement that affords is, we're also dealing with inflation, right? And as costs go up, people are going to need more income. So this also can help offset increased costs down the road.
And, you know, if you're going with today's law, it's kind of like, well, you still have to be a resident of that property. However, down the road, you don't have to be a resident. So you can make it a complete investment situation where maybe the unit that you're even living in, you're renting out the entire deal because that law is going to take it into effect at some point. And so, again, the more preparation and planning now, probably the better.
Well, yes, especially, again, take an older individual who is, you know, retired and aging in place. And they can do that for now. But say over time, they need additional income, they build one or two ADUs on their property, and they're there for 5 or 10 more years. And then they've reached a point where they may need additional assistance in living. Okay. Well, in some cases, they can stay there with maybe a assisted person living in one of the ADUs, or they can move into a higher care facility and have the income from all three properties supplement the higher cost of assisted living.
You know, this is a whole nother topic, and Paul, we should talk about this as a part two, but the reality is there's the short-term rentals on top of that you can be doing down the road, which could be another option. That's a whole nother topic. Paul, you've had other podcasts on the short-term versus long-term rental scenarios, but I think there's just so many things to talk about in this space. But Bert, I mean, any parting thoughts for this part one anyway? Because I mean, we've had so many different layers of conversations here.
Well, as you've mentioned, there's so many aspects to this. It's literally unlimited opportunity for a property owner and a renter and or a buyer, first time or senior. It's an amazing improvement in the long-term care for people and the community.
Well, hey, we want to just thank you for listening to today's podcast. You know, if you are curious about ADUs, we've got this resident expert, Bert Clay, right here. We also have a property management division who can also help, you know, because we wanted to be that one-stop shop here at John L. Scott Anacortes. Paul, any parting thoughts for you?
Yeah, that's it. I guess you're right. Yeah, reach out to Bert. Thank you, Bert. And yeah, Green Ocean Real Estate Services is our property management company. Bert, yeah, we appreciate you, and thanks for coming on, my friend.
Oh, thanks, Paul. Being part of this and being able to help people with their investments, That's what I'm here for.
Well, thanks again, everybody, for joining us today. Again, we're very excited to continue to bring you content. Be sure to like, subscribe, and reach out to us for any of your real estate needs. You know, single family, multifamily, middle housing, any of these kind of needs. Thank you so much for listening in today.